Today, we're going to begin a four-week experience that is going to change the way we view that great part of Christianity called evangelism. Yes, evangelism. For some of you, just hearing that word said puts a tremor up your spine. Oh my, evangelism. Well, you're thinking maybe I'm going to do some things where you have to do awkward exercises, or I might call on you on the spot to come up here and role play how to share your faith with a non-believer or something like that. Okay, relax. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's not going to happen. In fact, our experience through this series is going to be unlike almost anything you've ever experienced or read or heard of. And the reason for this is the type of evangelism we're going to explore. It has no formulas. There's no scripts. There are no quizzes. You don't have to memorize huge blocks of information. No. But we are using a paradigm, and the paradigm we're going to discover together is that evangelism can be as simple as a walk across the room. Now, it may not be a literal walk. For that matter, it may not be a literal room. You could be outside. But the metaphor here is that there needs to be a willingness to reach out and to welcome people, to extend a hand. Now, at this time, I'm gonna introduce you by way of video, the author of this series, Bill Hybels. He's going to set the stage, and then we'll proceed on with this week's content.
A lot of people I talk to get all freaked out when they hear the word evangelism. They think they have to master this massive amount of apologetic information. They think they have to have a different personality than God gave them. They think that it's just some formidable challenge that they could never rise to. And so often I find that it's the short, rather accessible little steps or walks or deeds that you do. It's not giving long speeches. It's mostly about friendship. It's not backing someone into a corner. It's just kind of pointing to Christ in ways that are natural for you. And I think if more people would do just the small thing that they can do, take a walk here, stretch out an arm here, say a word here, live your faith every day in a humble and kind of genuine way, I think a lot of people would find that they would be touching a lot more lives than they think.
Did you catch the gist of that summary statement? If each of us could just do the little thing that we're able to do, how many lives we can touch. Each do just that little thing you can do. And what an impact that could have. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, isn't this what you really want to do? Isn't this the essence of what it means to follow after Christ? Because you want to touch people's lives? Those who are near and dear to you, friends and family, co-workers, to help them to have a sense that God is coming near, to know the good news of Jesus Christ. The just walk across the room metaphor is taken from an actual event, something that happened, and it changed the lives of those involved. There was a person who was living far from God, and then one day his entire world was changed when someone was willing to leave the group they were chatting with and literally walk across the room and welcome them and introduce themselves to them and to talk with them. Now, it's a very, very moving story, and you can read the details in chapter 1 of the book, Just Walk Across the Room. Friends, the single greatest gift that Christ followers can give to those around them is an introduction to the God who created them, who loves them, and has a purpose for their lives. Nothing beats this. Not monetary gains, not job opportunities, not accolades. And when you boil it all down, this is what evangelism is. Constantly watching for ways to give this single greatest gift to someone who is living far from God. So today we're going to begin this process of learning how to become usable of God. And I hope that's something you want, that you want to be used by God. And the first step in getting usable to God is being willing to free ourselves from our circles of comfort and stretch out a hand to a person who needs the hope that we can offer. Now, what will it take to give this single greatest gift to someone we know? We have to be willing to leave the circle of comfort and enter what Bill Hybels calls the zone of the unknown. Just saying that sounds frightening, doesn't it? The zone of the unknown, that's the unfamiliar. That's where there might be a risk of failure or rejection of some sort, the zone of the unknown. This is the zone that is intimidating. But if we can listen to God's call, we will enter this zone. And so much of Christian growth and the life is in this zone. We're often asked by God to be in this zone. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt a nudge from God, a nudge telling you, go introduce yourself to that person? Maybe it's a new person at church. Maybe it's a new person at school or at work. Or maybe you sense the Spirit nudging you to ask a coworker out for lunch. Or maybe you're watching your kids' basketball game or your grandkids' basketball game, and there's this nudge. Oh, I don't know that person. I'm going to go over and introduce myself. Well, if you felt that, what did you do? How did you respond? Just sat there and hoped it would go away? If you're a living, breathing Christ follower, the Spirit is asking you to walk, asking me to walk. He's asking us to make a difference in the lives of the people we see each and every day, work, school, social settings, and so on. If you have submitted your life to Christ, but you're wondering now why you haven't been rocketing ahead in your spiritual growth, your spiritual maturity, could it be because you've been unwilling to leave those circles of comfort? Not even willing to look at the zone of unknown, let alone walk into the zone of the unknown. But what would happen if you did take it just a few steps across the room? Is it possible that you could impact someone's eternity? Is it possible that you may even affect an entire family by that walk across the room? That we could change an entire family history simply by taking a few steps to go toward someone who may be far from God. Wouldn't that be worth it to have such an impact? 10 steps across the room? Now, here's a quote from the book that it kind of stops you in your tracks. Listen. The day Christ followers like you and me stop taking walks across rooms in this manner, the day we stay glued to our circles of comfort, refuse to make the walk, refuse to enter the zone of the unknown, the day Christ followers like you and me stop doing that sort of stuff, it's lights out for the kingdom of God here on earth. It is the beginning of the end of redemptive history. It's the slow defeat of the church, the bride of Christ. It's the end of the dream of Christ, that people on earth would come to know him. If you've been wrecked by grace, if you've been bowled over by the love of God, and I'm so grateful that that has happened to me, and if it's happened to you, wouldn't you want to express your love for what God has done for you? Wouldn't you want to crank up that boldness meter and actively seek to introduce as many people as possible to the God who wants to overwhelm them with his grace? Wouldn't you want to do that? All right, so in order to give the single greatest gift, you must be first willing to enter the zone of the unknown. But there's more, because unless you have supernatural power with you, you may end up doing more harm than good. In order for us to be effective in the zone of the unknown, we must listen to the Spirit. We must be led by the Spirit. Pay attention to the leading of the Spirit. Just like Philip in our scripture reading earlier from the Acts of the Apostles. Philip was led by God to leave the comfort of Jerusalem, his circle of comfort, if you will, and to head south toward the desert. And there the Spirit prompted him to make the acquaintance of an Ethiopian official and to tell him about Jesus. Now you know what happened. Can you imagine, though, when that official rode into his hometown, returned back to Ethiopia? Can you imagine? Here's this official now following in the way of Jesus Christ. And that was possible because of Philip, willing to listen to the promptings of the Spirit, willing to put up with a little bit of discomfort to befriend someone he did not know, but nevertheless a person for whom Christ died. We must listen to the promptings of the Spirit. And this is the key, being walk-across-the-room kinds of people. We need to walk when the Spirit says walk, but we also need to not walk if the Spirit says do not walk. You see, there's a little bit of a challenge here because this is dynamic. This is almost mystical. It's out of your control. It's out of my control. We listen to the Spirit, and yet this is what adds the adventure and the edge to the Christian life, listening to the Spirit. Jesus said about his followers, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." So the verse says you got to have savor, you have to be salty. Another way of saying spiritual potency. But what else does salt need if it's going to affect anything? It's got to be on whatever it is you're trying to affect, right? The salt needs to be there in close proximity to whatever it's trying to impact. So to continue this image, I could be the saltiest salt on the face of the earth. But if I'm not in proximity to anything, I'm not going to have an impact on anything. Some of you are wondering at this point, oh, this isn't really for me. I can't wait for this series to be over. And you're thinking, oh, that's great for some people. I don't have any training in this. I certainly don't have any confidence in this. You need somebody else. Well, I sympathize with you because it is kind of scary to meet new people, particularly if you're more introverted, as I am. It's kind of a risk to go across the room and meet somebody entirely new. But I want you to understand the reality here. When we are relating right with Jesus Christ, when there's a vitality and openness in our spirits, the prompting of the Spirit, here's what happens. This is what's going to happen. All right, you're in your circle of comfort. In other words, you're chatting with your friends and acquaintances like we usually do, all right? We all do that. It's in church, everywhere. So you're in your circle of comfort. You're chatting with your friends. But by the power of the Spirit, not only are you listening to the conversation, hopefully, but with kind of like with one eye, you're looking around to see if the Spirit is telling you to do anything, if the Spirit is telling you to go walk across to someone and greet them. Now, and if you get that prompting, you need to go. It's not going to happen every time, but it's going to happen sometimes. And it's going to happen more often if you commit yourself to being salty, if you make sure you are in close proximity to people who need grace, and especially if you listen to the Spirit's promptings. All right, there's a passage in Romans chapter 5, and it may be familiar to a number of you. Now, if you're able to make it out, will you say it aloud with me? The proof of God's amazing love is this, that it was while we were sinners that Christ died for us. I've been spending some time this past week thinking about what this means for me. When I was in high school, I felt like things were not right. I had not done anything majorly wrong, but I just felt like things were not right. I was not right. And so I wondered over and over again, what can I do to make it right? What could I do? Well, I started attending church. And over a series of weeks, I felt as if God was speaking to me directly through every scripture that was read in the service, including Romans 5:8. The pastor was using the J.B. Phillips translation, largely because it was republished that year. But that's the one that has this word amazing. And that's why it's stuck in my mind all these years, because it is amazing. The message hit me like the proverbial ton of bricks. There was nothing I could do to make it right. But God did what I could not. God made it possible for my redemption. I could have a right relationship with God. I could have a right purpose to my life. Now, it's not something I could earn. It is a gift from God. It is an amazing gift from God. Not merely because God would feel this type of unconditional love for me, but that he would go to such lengths to demonstrate it. And think about that. How was it that he demonstrated this love? What was the radical move that he made to prove to you and to me that he really does feel redemptive, grace-filled, unconditional love for each one of us? Some of you know where this is going. What did he do? He took a walk. In Philippians chapter 2, we read that at a specific point in history, a specific time and place, Jesus walked all the way across the cosmos and reached out his redemptive hand to people like you and me. And because of that one walk, humankind was able to be saved and secured in the family of God forever. Now think about the implications of that. This passage tells us that Jesus, under the direction from his Father, left the ultimate circle of comfort, heaven itself, direct participation in the Trinity, the worship and adoration of the angels. Jesus Christ left the ultimate circle of comfort, and he took the longest walk a person could ever take. Why? Here's why. To stretch out his hand to people like you and me. But guess what? There's more. In addition to taking a walk across the cosmos so you and I can be redeemed, he also took a walk across the cosmos to show us how it can be done. It's as if he said, this is the characteristic I want my followers to have, that they be walk across the room kind of people. And that's our third point. Just walk. Why? Because Jesus just walked for you. Just walked for me and for everyone on the planet. And so this is why we're devoting an entire month to exploring these ideas. Will we get better at hearing the Spirit's promptings? Yes, but more than that, we can start taking action, even immediately, with a newfound sense of confidence. And in the process, we'll become more like Jesus. That's what these 4 weeks are about. Now, here's something I want you to consider doing as we wrap this up. I want you to think about how did you get in the kingdom of God? Or how your friends, how'd they end up in the kingdom of God? Most Christians I know had someone who was influential in that. It may have been a Sunday school teacher, it may have been a friend, may have been your mom or dad or some other relative, maybe even just a neighbor, somebody who influenced you, who was a positive influence. For those of you who are long-time members of First Presbyterian Church, that person may have been Marilyn Sharp. So friendly, so welcoming. A walk across the room kind of person. Or it may have been someone else. Why don't you take a moment this week and either send a postcard or an email or write out some kind of note and thank them for being the one who took the walk. Or if for some reason you can't get a hold of that person anymore, someone who is around, who seems to embody this idea of walk across the room, send them a note, send them an email, or even a text, whatever, and encourage them to keep going. It'll mean so much. Here's one more quote from the book. Jesus Christ knew that fulfilling his redemptive mission would be excruciatingly difficult, risky, downright defeating, and seemingly fruitless for us at times. But if you'll just persevere, he might say, the potential is colossal. Think of it. One more treasure, a priceless human being, might be snatched from the clutches of a horrendous, lifeless eternity because of what you did. So go. Go now and bear witness. Sow the seed. Take the walk across the room. Leave what's comfortable for that which is eternally significant. Risk your life for this and know that you will never regret your decision. Let us pray. Dear God, I pray that you will anoint these 4 weeks in a supernatural way. I pray that you will turn every timid heart into a bold heart for you. That you will take every pair of shaky legs, legs that are often too comfortable in their existing circle, and that you will help point them toward people outside the circle who need a touch from you. God, I pray that as our church moves into this exciting new era of relational evangelism, every single person in this fellowship will be open to becoming a walk across the room kind of person to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.